Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Well, here we are, guys. What's up, you guys? Listen, you boy. But you know what? You know what?
It's the list in your boy at Fightful.com. With Jimmy Van and Sean Ross Sapp, they're on fire. Boom shakalaka.
200 strong.
I didn't forget the intro, Jimmy.
Yeah. I said, don't forget the intro because last week he did. But at least you had it queued up, so that's good.
I did like seconds after you told me that. Guys, leave a thumbs up if you're watching this live. Please subscribe. Donate to Super Chat. We've already got several people who have. Jimmy, what's up?
Not too much, man. Not too much. I told Shory, Sean a story, a funny story off the air about, you know, those tax scam calls that people are getting and how I don't want to go into detail about it. Let's just say I forgot to pay some tax money that I owed. And the government had been trying to call my wife because they didn't have my number. And my wife never told me because she thought it was a scam. And it turned out it was real. And I only found out because my accountant got a call from the government yesterday and said, oh, by the way, you forgot to pay some income tax money. Oh, shit. And then my wife said, oh, crap, they've been calling me. I thought it was a scam.
I love it.
That happened.
I love it. Guys, yep. Leave a thumbs up if you're watching live. We got lots of cool stuff this week on Fightful. We've got predictions with Sam Laterna this week. I've got an enhancement stories feature up on Beer City Bruiser. You might say, oh, well, I can't remember him doing any enhancement stuff. He played a fake Bray Wyatt at one point. He did some stuff with Simon Dean that ended up getting him back in the company a few times. So check that out. But we just actually streamed the Cody Rhodes media call. Hannah, let us know. No notification again, of course. But Evan Wright says, Sean's thoughts on the Cody comment on Pat. I didn't think it was that
Pat
bad.
Who?
Pat McAfee. I mean, maybe it didn't stick out to me because there was a lot of other more newsworthy stuff there, like him talking about NXT. But I didn't necessarily think anything of it. But we also have a super chat from Anakin JMT that said, checked out Match Madness as they're a sponsor this month and found it pretty cool. Have you checked it out? And what are your thoughts? Hammerstone impressed me. And ASJ clearly has been listening to his uncle on being a heel. Yeah, so they got people like Hammerstone, EC3, Lee Moriarty, Jazz, like a lot of familiar names. I think that's a good idea to mix it in with a lot of the more inexperienced or lesser exposed talents. I thought it was a really good idea when they brought it to me about being a sponsor. I was like, you know what? This is something I can get behind. I was able to reach out to some of the people in the tournament, and I said, hey, if this is absolute crap, I do not want them to sponsor us. I don't want to pick them up. And they said, no, it's good. We did a lot of good work. So hope you guys check them out. And Bryant Heath says, finally found a job as a sub teacher. Hope you guys have a wonderful Wednesday. Can't wait for the review tonight. Well, Jimmy, we might as well jump into it. The Wednesday reviews might be changing pretty soon.
Yeah, well, before we do, I want to send my condolences to the family of Joe Hudson. Josephus from the NWA, the question mark from the NWA, passed away, unfortunately. I haven't heard much about his age or anything. I know he had a 10-year-old son. And Dutch Mantel, who was friends with him, heard that it was a stroke or a brain aneurysm, but way too young, man. So I want to send condolences to his family. That one kind of came out of left field, too.
Yeah, Josephus was a true success story of the relaunched NWA because he didn't have like a heavy profile. He and Tim Storm are very similar in that regard. Not a high profile, was identified with them and really put things forth that he could play a good character, he was such an entertaining guy and he could do such a variety of things. And I loved his promo delivery and his style. And I heard from so many people that were so bummed out. It's my condolences are with the family and with NWA. I mean, they had some good news this week, but this was some really terrible news last week. And I'm sure he would have been a part of this relaunched version too.
Yep. I'm sure he would have been. Yep. And we'll talk about the NWA later, but yeah, the first story that we need to talk about a few years down the road from now, Sean, mm-hmm. we might look back on April 13th. If this whole news holds true, we might look back on April 13th as the day that the landscape truly changed. So I'll be curious a few years from now where the ratings are for AEW in comparison to WWE. Matt Men Pro Wrestling Podcast broke the news that NXT is reportedly going to move to Tuesdays as of April 13th, which is the week after WrestleMania. And there had been speculation for a while that this was going to happen. There had been speculation that NXT might become a Peacock exclusive. And now they're hearing that it's going to move to Tuesdays. I'll ask you what you're hearing about it, but I do want to make one point first. People are going to say, oh, AEW kicked their ass. That's what people are going to say. They're moving because AEW kicked their ass.
Yeah.
From what I've heard, AEW is not the catalyst for the move. From what I heard, the catalyst is the NHL rights. Because you remember when the NHL Sports Network went under and there were reports that the content was going to move to USA and to Peacock? The NHL is a Wednesday night broadcast. And so from what I understand, NHL rights was the catalyst, not AEW. But AEW fans are going to say, we won the war. So what are you hearing about this whole thing, Sean?
So this isn't necessarily new. This had been something that they had felt out quite a while back. If you remember, I had mentioned this last year, that there was a possibility that USA Network had at least felt out WWE. And WWE was receptive to it as well, like from what I understand. And I mean, everybody knows how the perception will be, but we also know how it'll get spun too. Mm-hmm. And Cody Rhodes admittedly got a little sassy on that call. To clarify, he said, I'm pretty sure that Pat McAfee is trying to get a job here every other day, which is funny. I don't know if he is, but as far as that goes, I mean, you know that it's going to get asked on a Triple H media call, and Triple H is going to say, well, we got the NWA and there's AEW Dark and Impact Wrestling. Seems to me like we got more competition on Tuesdays. You know, one of those. You know how it'll happen.
Yep,
hope he does it tongue in cheek. I hope he like makes a joke of it, because what else can you do?
It's probably he should definitely mention the NWA if he's going to do it that way.
He should.
That would be funny.
I think it'd be very funny for him to kind of just bring that up. But this is something that has been talked about a long time, and obviously USA, Universal, Peacock are far less worried about any AEW, WWE situation than WWE is. I mean, the timing of NXT going on USA is not a coincidence. I don't care if they were already on Wednesdays. I don't care about anything like that. That was not a coincidence. It was done intentionally. And at the time, I was told specifically, whatever night AEW goes on, NXT will be on that night. So mm-hmm. If it would have been Thursday or Saturday, NXT would have moved. But I think this is good for everybody. I mean, it ain't good for me, but it's good for everybody. We are hiring someone to help us with news on Tuesday nights. That way our writers don't go crazy. But I think as a result, I think probably AEW will be over 1 million consistently. And I'll have to wait to see what it means for NXT, because changing a night, I don't know if that will stagnate viewers or if the lack of competition will bring them up. Like, it's really hard for me to tell at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Tony Khan should be popping bottles, because this is big for AEW. And like I said, I'll be very curious, say 2-3 years down the road, where the numbers are. Like, by then, is Dynamite going to be, you know, catching up to Raw and SmackDown? Because if they are, you can look at April 13th as the catalyst for that. And so,
I think if the pandemic hadn't started, we'd be looking at AEW consistently at about 1.1 and NXT probably about 800, 900. I think it'd be significantly higher for them, because you look at them and they have put on good shows and they've stayed pretty well where they were.
Right.
Meanwhile, you see Raw, it's been terrible and it's just declined. So nobody can tell me that a good show doesn't affect the viewership, or else AEW and NXT would just be crap in the bed like Raw is too.
Right, right. Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting. And I want to make a note for WWE Network subscribers too while I'm at it, because I saw a bunch of questions in social media about this. There's a lot of confusion with US-based subscribers. What's going on with Peacock? Are things going to pour it over? And I did a bunch of research on this. I saw some stuff that Brandon Thurston had posted on social media. Fastlane on March 21 is going to be on the network in the U.S. And then apparently after that, starting with WrestleMania, you got to go to Peacock and you have to sign up. You have to create a Peacock account. So your WWE Network login will not port over. You have to create a Peacock account, from what I understand. And so that's going to happen. But then March 18 is when you can sign up for Peacock and get WWE Network content. So
yeah,
more Mania stuff. And again, this kind of relates to WWE Network too. Somebody discovered when they tried to cancel their network subscription that WWE, in an effort to convince you not to cancel and an effort to convince you to continue as a subscriber, they posted logos for upcoming events. And one of the logos that they posted is NXT TakeOver on April 8, which is the Thursday before WrestleMania. What are you hearing about that? Because I know that your good buddy, Louis Dangor, he had posted prior to that no NXT title matches are scheduled for WrestleMania.
Yes.
And if that's true, that makes sense given this TakeOver news. So what are you hearing about all that?
Makes a lot of sense. I like the idea of it. Again, not for me personally. I don't like it because we're looking at Wednesday with an MLW and an AEW show. And you know MLW is going to do something big for Mania Week 2. Why wouldn't they? You're going to have an ROH show crammed in there, TakeOver Thursday, SmackDown Friday, Mania Saturday and Sunday, the Raw after Mania on Monday, probably the NXT debut on Tuesdays, that Tuesday, which is going to be big, and then AEW Wednesday. Give you a little break on Thursday. By the way, there's NXT UK shows there. And then Friday will be SmackDown after Mania. So that'll be a big show too. I have no idea if there's a UFC show that weekend. I hope not. I hope to God not. But I think it's a good idea. Actually, there was somebody, I don't want to say, I don't want to give away like possibly who it was, that they let it slip to me that there would be a TakeOver WrestleMania week show. And at that point, it could have just been like a rebranded NXT show on Wednesday. You know, yep. They could very easily just say, oh, well, that Wednesday is TakeOver and we're doing it on USA Network. Because, I mean, TNT and AEW do that all the time with Beach Bash and yep. Beach Break and Break at the Beach and Bash at the Beach.
NXT too. I mean, Halloween Havoc.
Great American too. Beach and any yeah. other beach-themed thing they can do, they do
the Great
it.
American Beach.
Yeah, the Great That's American Beach, Son of the Beach, all that stuff. I think it's a good idea. I think it's a really good idea.
I'm going to be curious if they just do it at the PC. So you're going to have Raymond James for WrestleMania. You know, you got the fans back there, and then the poor NXT guys are sticking around the PC. I'll be curious about that.
Sorry, what was that, about NXT?
Yeah, if they're going to do TakeOver at the PC prior to Mania, what do you think?
Yeah, I think they will. And not only that, I think they're going to stick around at the PC long term. I don't think they'll go back to Full Sail.
Right.
I think this sort of time has shown them, oh, we don't really need to be anywhere else. We can do this on our own. And man, that performance center, you want to talk about a hell of an investment for them. It paid off in the last year alone. Like, that was brilliant.
Wasn't the place, like, weren't they selling Chotskis and trinkets when Triple H went to look at that place?
I don't know. I mean, and they even got the warehouse across the road that they trained at, and they filmed the new show as well.
Interesting. Well, Mania is 5 weeks out now. We still officially only know of two matches: Roman Reigns and Edge, Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair. 5 weeks out. I mean, we officially know two matches.
That's fair. That's a tape in between. Yeah.
My question for you, though, I want to talk logistics. What are you hearing about WrestleMania when it comes to ticket sales, when it comes to capacity limits, when it comes to potentially cardboard cutouts, which I personally think would be a good idea. I thought it looked good at the Super Bowl. So I wouldn't have a problem with that. They could sell them, you know, make them souvenirs, whatever. What are you hearing about the logistics? Because we're starting to see in the U.S. now, you know, Texas just completely opened. Whether you think it's right or wrong, they did it. Mississippi just completely opened. Again, whether you think it's right or wrong, they did it. Wouldn't shock me if Florida follow suit.
Yeah.
So what are you hearing in terms of logistics going into Mania?
Well, you know what I've heard because you subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, Jimmy. I've heard they've got a test event on Friday about ticket sales and that the tentative plan is next week. Of course, plans can change. But we reported that on FightfulSelect.com. And as of the Super Bowl, I had people that were in WWE messaging me that week saying, did you see how good that looked? Did you see how good that looked? And I said, yeah, I did. I couldn't even tell from wide shots.
I agree.
It looked awesome. Yes. But apparently, Vince McMahon did not like it.
Why?
Yes.
I liked it.
You're asking me to understand why a 75-year-old man doesn't like that when that 75-year-old man can't understand what I or most other people like?
True.
Good luck.
The other thing, too, and we talked about this before, it will prevent people from moving down.
Yeah.
Because people are going to do that. How much security are they going to have? Because people are going to do that. Did I ever tell you my Lennox Lewis story?
No.
Okay, good. I like to tell stories. Let me tell you a story.
You do.
So a few years ago, Lennox Lewis, of course, everybody knows, the former heavyweight boxer, and he always says he's British, but he's really Canadian. So he did a show. He promoted a boxing show in outside Toronto, Canada. And they had this setup, Sean, where, you know, you could sit on the floor in a dining setting at round tables with champagne and dinner and stuff if you wanted to. And so myself and my friends decided, let's do that. Let's get the one on the floor and get the champagne and get everything. So we get there and they had the table cut in half. Half the table was for my party, half the table was for another party, right? When we get there, there's a party sitting at the other half. We don't think anything of it. How you doing? We sit down and we start drinking. Then what happens? What do you think happened, Sean?
Hell was raised.
The real other party showed up.
Oh.
And when the real other party showed up, the people sitting in the seats, they just kind of looked up. They didn't even really say anything. They quietly stood up. They quietly stood off to the side until the fight going on in the ring ended. And then after that, they quietly just went away. They had eaten those people's food and they had drank their champagne and then they took off. And so the people sit down and they're looking around. They look at me and I said to them, I honestly thought that they were the people that got these tickets. So what I did was because I felt bad for them and I thought, what would happen if it was reversed? I went to the bar and I got a bottle of champagne for them and I gave them a bottle of champagne. And People are dicks when they want to be Sean. All right. And so when you think about WrestleMania, someone is going to get tickets in the bleachers thinking limited capacity. I'm going to get my ass down to ringside when I get the chance. The cardboard cutouts could stop that. You never know.
Yeah, it could.
Yeah.
By the way, guys, get in your super chats. It really helps us out. And leave us a thumbs up while you're here. Daniel Marshall says, genuine question, not trying to hate. Why do you think AEW viewership hasn't grown since launch? COVID, or is it people not watching TV anymore? I think it's more COVID than people not watching TV anymore. The fact that it stayed fairly steady throughout the pandemic is promising to me, Jimmy.
I think TNT should be ecstatic with the numbers. I mean, they have had weeks over a million viewers. I think they should be very happy with these numbers. I think if anybody thought, oh, how come AEW is not at 1.5 million viewers, especially when they had NXT as competition, it's a little bit short-sighted. If you look at the combined number, and I realize some of those are the same viewer counted twice, but when you look at the combined number, they hit over 1.5 million some weeks. And so I think that's quite good. I think they should be pretty content with where they're at. I think, like you said, when NXT moves, they should consistently be able to hit upwards of 1 million viewers. And then if they can continue to produce a decent show, then who knows in a few years where they're going to be.
Ricardo Holt says, watching 205 live today, boys. Here's a few bucks. How much will AEW benefit from the move besides overall viewership rising? Well, overall viewership rising means the possibility of merchandise rising and the possibility of watch hours rising.
Pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view rising. And when you are in a business like wrestling, it is very obviously watch hours are very important. That's why I think AEW has what they have in Dynamite. That's why I think Dark is 2 hours right now. That's why I think they're adding another hour on TNT and another show on Elevation. And Cody Rhodes mentioned that possibly another show is coming. And I don't think I ain't watching it,
yeah.
But two, I think it's so they can get on a streaming platform. I think that's what they want to do. And I don't think that they have the wrong idea there. There's a lot of guaranteed money in that, Jimmy.
Does Turner have a streaming platform?
I mean, there's a lot of stuff tied in, yeah. But, I mean, they've got the BR Live platform, and then there's HBO Max, which is kind of tied in with Warner Media and a lot of stuff like that.
Okay, because Bleacher Report obviously comes to mind. They just did the thing last week, so that comes to mind. But, yeah, I mean, that's always possible. I mean, that's money. Look at WWE, $1 billion for streaming. Not to suggest AEW would be anywhere close to that number, but anything out of the chute is gravy for them.
Yeah, so. HBO Max, I mean, boy, that'd be a good one. Ray Callahan said, Sean Ross Sapp, bucket list icon. Well, thanks. Thank you.
How much are you paying these people, Sean?
Well, they're paying me a couple bucks, apparently. David Dickers says, well, people, there you have it. If you want an FTF or get a Blue Chew for yourself, Fightful is hiring. Stay safe and happy job hunting, y'all. Yeah, it looks like we're going to be hiring somebody to help out with Tuesday night news writing specifically. Gisberto's going to handle some of the Thursday stuff. He's been doing really, really great for us. So, yeah, if you got your Tuesday nights available, and it's very fast-paced work, it is very demanding work, but there's obviously a chance to grow. Everybody that has worked full-time for Fightful got promoted to that spot. So,
cool. When you get to report to Sean, and that's a lot of fun. So you got.
I mean, it ain't bad. It ain't bad. Evan Wright says, any idea of the last man in the ladder match? I'm hoping for Ethan Page. I would love for it to be Ethan Page. I would like for it to be somebody like Zicky Dice, but I don't know if his NWA exposure is enough for him to be put in that slot. But yeah, I would like for it to be Ethan.
With all due respect to him, it wouldn't be a surprise that people are expecting.
Yeah.
So I don't think so. Let's talk about AEW because obviously the fact that NXT is going to move reportedly anyway, that makes this a big enough week for AEW as it is. Then on top of that, we're doing this on March 3rd. Shaquille O'Neal's on Dynamite tonight in that mixed tag. Shaquille O'Neal, Jade Cargill against Cody Rhodes and Red Velvet. Then on top of that, Paul White is going to be on Dynamite this week. Then on top of that, they got Revolution on Sunday. It's a big week for AEW when you throw that NXT news on top of everything else. And when you look at the Revolution card, obviously the thing that I'm the most interested in is the exploding barbed wire death match. I want to know how can they do that safely, because you have visions of Mick Foley. You know what I'm saying? So how are they going to do that safely?
Cody doesn't even know. He was asked on the media call, and he said that he saw some of the barbed wire that was starting to get rolled up, but he isn't sure how the explosion's going to work. I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. I was hopeful that I would have an interview this week that I'd be able to give you an answer, but it didn't work out. But I don't have an idea of how that'll work out, and I haven't had the desire to watch one in a very, very, very long time. They aren't my kind of matches.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you think back to Omega's last one that I can't recall who the opponent was when he had the thumbtacks in his back and everything. But they got to toe a line on this one, because on the one hand, if they go way too safe, it's going to look fake.
Sure.
And then people are going to complain. If they go way too towards the element of realism, somebody could get hurt. You got poor Renee Paquette sitting at home pregnant. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. they got to toe a fine line, but I'm very interested in that. And then the other thing I wanted to point out about the Revolution card, and you've talked about this before, AEW is excellent when it comes to having stakes in matches. They don't just throw guys out just for shits and giggles.
Yeah, I had stakes in matches.
Oh, did you? I had one on the weekend, actually.
At a New York strip, yeah.
So look, think about, they've got the Tag Team Casino Royale match, and the winner gets a tag team title shot. They have the Face of the Revolution ladder match. And I know people say it's kind of like Money in the Bank, but they have the Face of the Revolution ladder match, and the winner gets a TNT title opportunity. Yes. They got stakes and matches. The only thing I'm going to nitpick on a little bit is that they got six guys in a ladder match for a TNT title shot. Meanwhile, Joey Janela, who's never beaten anybody, got a title shot like 2 weeks ago.
Okay, well, I'm going to make sense of that for you because that's one of the benefits of dark, because I had that same complaint too.
Okay.
And then I sat there and thought about it, and I'm like, wait a second, Joey Janela has won like six straight matches on dark, and that's what they use. Like they use those hot streaks and him winning like a bunch of matches on TV to get a TV in a row. Like he had beat Jack Evans. He had beat I don't want to call him a jobber, but a jobber. He had a winning streak in singles action on dark outside of the Kenny Omega match for quite a while.
Dynamite, did they point that out? Did they make shine a spotlight on that?
I can't even remember. And I remember thinking it was a lot longer than it was, but he did go off the Omega match and he won a couple matches or at least a match to lead into that. Okay. Do I think it should have been more? Yes, I definitely think it should have been more than that.
Because again, the problem is anybody that only watches Dynamite and not Dark, they saw Janela lose to Jericho too in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, right? And Janela did say that Darby picked him for that match, but it shouldn't be up to the champion.
That's right.
To pick, I agree. That was the issue with the UFC for a solid 2 or 3 years.
Right.
I always make the joke: a bantamweight champion would win the fight, win the title, and instead of calling out the top contender, they'd immediately say, "Give me Uriah Faber, who's retired, or give me Dominic Cruz, who hasn't fought in 6 years." Like it was always something like that. It was always something ridiculous. Champions should have worthy contenders. I completely agree.
I agree. Yep.
We have a few super chats.
Okay.
David Dickers says, question: can you grow in the U.S. when you're already 6'2 or 1.86 meters for us normal people? Sorry, I watched Departee Uno. Some Cesaro rubbed off on me. I don't know what you mean there.
I think he means in height, like because Dutch people are notoriously tall, unless you're me, because I'm not.
Sure. I grew until I was my last recorded like height where I grew. I was 25, Jimmy. 25. I was still growing. That Ritalin slowed me down. Bill Hemmett says, I'm very disappointed in the way AEW handled their women's tournament. They had a big opportunity and I feel like they missed it again. I do too. I think Nyla Rose is good now. I think she's very good. She's gotten so much better. It is so very clearly Britt Baker's time, Jimmy.
Has been.
And it has been. And they just, meh, whatever. It really should have happened. It really should have been Britt Baker. Britt Baker should be winning this Sunday. And then Britt Baker should be winning that title. And they need to build the division around her.
Let me ask you a question. And I feel like we talked about this before. Do you think that they give Nyla Rose these opportunities because they want to put a spotlight on the fact that they have a transgender wrestler? No. Or do you think that they look at her as kind of like their Nia Jax a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think the comparisons are obvious there. To larger wrestlers, yeah. I think it's the monster aspect of it as far as in the ring. GTA25 says, when are we getting the Great O'Con versus the Great O'Shawn? Well, that would require some work, but you know what? Maybe I'd like to fight the Great O'Shawn. How about that? MC Carvalho says, I think Jade Cargill is going to surprise tonight. From what I saw in her training, she's got a lot of strength and she looks like a star. Thoughts? I think this would have been a match that would have been a lot safer to do when they taped. Like, this should have been a taped match.
I mean, she's very athletic and she does look like a star. I have not seen much of her in the ring. Like, have you seen footage of her in the ring?
Almost none.
No. Okay. Very athletic though. Great look, you know, great shape.
Yeah. Yeah. But other than that, I've not really seen anything out of her. Okay. Evan Wright says the other show sounds like a non-wrestling show, and it should be. It should be something like a countdown, like a Road to, like full on. But I mean, all this content they're producing, those are hours and hours that you got to produce to sell to a streaming platform. Justin Lopez says the Miami Heat have been using COVID sniffing dogs.
Really?
That sounds dangerous, Jimmy. Dangerous for the dogs. They say it's
not. Yeah, especially since they say that dogs can get it, right?
Yes. They say it's 92%.
I haven't heard of that.
Do you think WWE should use this tactic?
I want to say real quick. I love his thumbnail because I'm a big Eddie Murphy fan.
Yeah, me too.
And Coming to America 2 is this Friday. I'm very much looking forward to that.
Me too.
Yeah, I like your thumbnail.
I'll be watching that. Do you think they should use COVID sniffing dogs?
I mean, the only thing I will say is, you know, the Super Bowl happened. I have not heard of it being a super spreader. And the one thing in the U.S., even though the daily case counts are still high, a lot more people are vaccinated in the U.S. than in other places too. And so, I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens, you know?
Jimmy, what is that? Oh, my God. I've sniffed out a deal. MagicSpoon.com.
That was weak.
100% effective. Oh, my gosh. Magic Spoon. You guys know I love this stuff. Jimmy's tried it as well. I've been trying to cut down carbs and sugar and unhealthy food. And Magic Spoon helps get you there. Now, I drink protein shakes and I love them. You've heard me talk about them on this show. But I found this way to kind of switch things up. And Magic Spoon has been a part of my routine almost every single day. Between workouts, before or after workouts, between meals, or as your breakfast. If you want a snack, this stuff is great. Only 140 calories per serving in MagicSpoon.com/Fightful. 13 to 14 grams of protein, 4 net grams of carbs, 0 sugar. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb and GMO-free. And I love these new flavors. Limited time, cookies and cream, and maple waffle. I've talked about it on this show. Waffle is so much better than pancake. And when you add that wonderful maple to it, gimme, gimme, gimme. Cookies and cream, my favorite flavor of candy bar and ice cream. Now in MagicSpoon.com/Fightful, you can build your own box. You can get your available flavors of cocoa, fruity, frosted peanut butter, and cinnamon to build your own custom box. And if you're listening in Canada, Magic Spoon now ships there as well. You can even mix cocoa with peanut butter and make like...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Peanut butter cup flavor, which has become my favorite. But go to magicspoon.com/fightful, grab the new limited edition cookies and cream maple waffle or a custom bundle to try it today. You use that code Fightful. The offer is now good anywhere in Canada or the US, and I love this stuff. You don't have to keep going back and forth to the cereal box. You get filled up with one 140 calorie serving. I love it. And if you're not happy, you get your money back. 100% happiness guarantee. More effective than the sniffing dogs, Jimmy. 100% happiness guarantee. MagicSpoon.com/Fightful.
And I got to admit, it really does taste like kid cereal.
I love it.
It does.
I love it.
One of them is like Fruit Loops. Tastes yes. like Fruit Loops.
Like you open up the box and you smell it and you're like, yeah, okay.
It's true. Good stuff. Yeah, it's true. Let's talk about WWE Raw because it was the best of times. It was the worst of times, Sean Rossap. So first and foremost, let's talk about the best of times. Bobby Lashley, this guy's supposed to be a heel, and yet the universal reaction was joy and praise, I think, to Bobby Lashley finally becoming the WWE champion He's one of the few guys on the roster that they've booked strong for a while. Him, Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, really the only ones that they've booked really, really strong. And he looks like a champion. He carries himself like a champion. The Hurt Faction are phenomenal as a faction. When they pulled all the shenanigans on Raw with the starts and stops and, you know, oh, they're going to start at 9 o'clock, they're going to start at 10 o'clock, they're going to start at whatever, I feared a schmoz and a non-finish on. The Lumberjack match, Braun Strowman is out there, with which made no sense. And I feared there was going to be a schmoz, but they went with a clean finish. The right guy won. And I got to tell you, I don't know the plan for WrestleMania for Bobby Lashley, and maybe you do and you can talk about it. I think it's Bobby Lashley's time. And I think that if the company was thinking, okay, we're going to do Lashley Drew and Drew's going to win and he's going to get his WrestleMania moment in front of live fans, I think they need to pivot if that was the idea, because it's Bobby Lashley's time. And I just think he's a great fit for that title. He, like I said, he looks like a champion, carries himself like a champion. He's also a great ambassador. He's a guy that you can put on the Tonight Show and he looks like a champion. And what have I been saying for so long, Sean? What match do I want at WrestleMania, Sean Ross Sapp? I've talked about it, I feel like, for 4 years on this damn
Lashley
podcast.
Lashley Lesnar.
Yes, Lashley Lesnar.
It's the only thing that I think can threaten one of the two main events. Like, you know what I mean? To possibly put it up there. Chris Rain says he wants to see Lashley retain at Mania.
Yes.
Me too.
Yes.
And I like the utilization of Miz as a sensible transitional champion. Sensible. I thought the way they did it was really, really great. And there's very, very rarely are there situations where I'm like, man, WWE knocked it out of the park. Mm-hmm. The way that Miz won was believable. The way that he won was believable. He hadn't won hardly any singles matches in 13 months. Yep. It took 7 people to beat Drew McIntyre. So Drew doesn't look bad. I was telling people in the company that asked how I thought about it or how I felt about it. I was like, I thought that Drew not coming out, not getting worked by The Miz, that's a babyface move.
Yeah.
Drew was very much a shit happens, I'll win and get it back.
Yep.
That's a babyface thing to do. Not like Tito Ortiz coming out there. Oh, I got my neck was broken before this fight, even though I won it.
Yeah.
My God, I loved the constant pushing back of the match. Like it. Because as you said, Bobby Lashley is supposed to be a heel. So how do you make him look like a babyface? You make him look like he's being wronged over and over again. And he's not bitching about it, Jimmy.
He's
just like, we're going to do it.
We're
going to do it. I'm going to destroy you. I thought it was masterful. And for many reasons, because of the history surrounding this match, there have not been that many Black World Champions. There were a lot of people pulling for him just for that regard, too. Not even to mention, not only should this be his time, his time was like 2008. It should have been his time.
Yeah, I agree. Yep. And for me, it's not even the color of his skin. I mean, I realize a lot of people were rooting for him for that reason. He's good. He's been there forever. He's a pro. He looks like a star. He carries himself like a star. Yeah. When he did that promo with The Miz, and I know I'm an old school guy, I was thinking Hogan Andre. Do you remember when Hogan and Andre, they're on Piper's Pit, and Hogan, you know, he's nervous about around Andre. He's got his head down, and Andre takes his hand and he lifts Hogan's head, you know? Yeah. And Andre was like the intimidating, dominant force. When Lashley got in Miz's face and basically said, I don't know everything he said, but he ended it by saying, and it will be awesome, like that. I loved it. I was not a fan of The Miz in the title picture, like we talked about last week, but at least they got it off him quick. I was really worried they were going to wait till Fastlane and we're going to have to deal with weeks of bullshit. But they took it off him quick.
If that would have happened, I would have ranted huge. I would have been really, really frustrated because I'm not keen on the bait and switch. I don't like that stuff. And all the dolts that'll say, card subject to change. They write the show.
Yeah.
They script it. Andrew says, did WWE prove 2 hours to thread a story beats 3? Well, no, this was a 3-hour thread. This was beginning of the show, 9 p.m., 10 p.m., end of the show. This was a 3-hour thread. So they've proven it over the last 8 or 9 years for sure.
I
2 hours beats 3.
I'd still rather have a 2-hour show, but this was one example where I thought it worked. And going back to Drew McIntyre, I kind of feel for him a little bit because where he's at right now, I really think Lashley's got the momentum. And I think that if they're going to go with these two, you got to have Lashley win. And the unfortunate thing for Drew McIntyre is this whole last year, none of this stuff has been his fault. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The fact that COVID happened, he couldn't have live fans in the building. The fact that they put him in the ring with Dolph Ziggler and with the Big Show and with Randy Orton 17 times, that's not Drew McIntyre's fault.
And had him lose the last time instead of the first time.
Yes.
He was so, like, WWE has made some mind-boggling decisions. I'll just say this. Lashley is really, really lucky that he didn't fall victim to the skull fucking finale, or else he would not have won that championship whatsoever.
He might have. He might have really laid out Miz after that one.
I don't think he could recover from that. He would have had to have a cigarette and all kinds of stuff before.
In the ring. Yes, live on Raw. Ring. Yeah, live on Raw.
Andrew says drop off in third hour. Fans assumed a screw job. That ain't because of that. There's always a drop off in the third hour.
I don't think it was that much of a drop this time. I think didn't it go from 1.9 to 1.8?
Yeah, but I mean, you can't look at the drop off in the third hour. So that's what happened. The fans assumed a screw job.
No, they always drop off.
They always drop off, and plenty of fans did assume that. But I mean, that's not why there's a constant thing like that. Evan Wright says, cackled at Gallows saying he gave Papa Buck Viagra. My God. Dante V says, I'm totally cool with the tournament if Rosa gets the title off of Sheeta and Britt gets it from Rosa and signed Maki Ito and Rin Katokura. Well, Thunder Rosa got beat on Monday, I believe it was. Nyla Rose beat her, so that's not the tournament. She's not in the tournament anymore. She lost. She's out, which is a bummer, but you know.
So now that they got the title off of Miz, do you think that they're going to go back to Priest and Bad Bunny against Miz and Morrison at Mania? You think that's going to be the direction for him now?
Yes. That was the plan as of early February.
Okay. So what they need to do is they need to give Damian Priest some quick, decisive wins, because having him on TV for like 15 minutes with Elias is doing nobody any favors. And he had a long match the previous week with Angel Garza. I understand maybe they want him to get his reps in. Maybe that's the mentality behind it. But if you are a viewer of Raw that did not watch NXT, and there's a lot of them that didn't watch NXT, all you see is this new guy that they're putting with this celebrity taking a longer time to beat Elias than he should.
Yeah.
And so I think they need to do quicker, more decisive wins for him.
Oh, for sure. He should not be selling in chin locks for a minute at a time.
Right.
I think it's ridiculous. So yeah, I think that's the direction they'll go. Liam wants you to bring back stupid people, maybe for special occasions. We got a lot of wrestling talk to grind that to a halt every single week.
You know what? I started to feel that it was becoming redundant. A lot of the stories were kind of similar. They're always from Florida, China, or India. And so that's why I scaled it back a little, but I'll still bring it back from time to time because there are really good ones out there.
Yeah. You know? Special occasions we're fine with. By the way, Jimmy's going to be doing a Q&A on Fightful Select pretty soon as well. So subscribe to Fightful Select in addition to all the exclusive news. Ricardo Holt says they got their blue chew. I mean, we'll really hammer that home when they sponsor a show, but I appreciate it. You all supporting our sponsors shows them that you all care. So we appreciate that. Kieran George says Lashley should hold the title all the way to Survivor Series and have him face Roman. The promos from Heyman and MVP would be gold. I think that's a great idea, Jimmy.
Yeah.
But also you got to put him in there against other winners, other people that make you think, oh, he can beat him. Or hear me out. Lashley should crush everybody until November. Now I get that a lot of people are like, oh, well, where's the intrigue? Well, where's the intrigue? You're going to have another world title match on every pay-per-view. You're going to have two women's title matches on every pay-per-view. Lashley can be the Mike Tyson, he's going to fucking kill somebody attraction. I think that'd be kind of cool. Like, how bad is Lashley going to destroy somebody this month? I think
that'd be cool. I also would like it if they would have him in the ring with people aside from the usual suspects. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like, think back, and again, I know I'm an old school guy. Think back to Macho Man Randy Savage. When he was the Intercontinental Champion, he took on everybody.
Yes.
Like everybody. It didn't matter if you were Tito Santana or Billy Jack Haynes or Hercules or Nate. He took on freaking everybody. And so why can't they have Lashley take on everybody?
Yeah.
Anybody mid-card and above, they get in there with him. Why not? It's you know, instead of poor Drew McIntyre, oh, good, we're going to get Dolph Ziggler again. We're going to get Randy Orton again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Make it fresh. Have him in there with a bunch of different people that you wouldn't even think of. It'd be much more entertaining. Think about how much we loved it when Brock got in there with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, do stuff like that with Bobby Lashley. Why wouldn't you?
Evan Wright says, New Japan Cup starting, Okada, Shingo, round one, hose. Yeah, I can't wait for that. New Japan's got such a wealth of talent. Not Marty Scurll anymore. He's got him out of there. Ricardo says, Bobbles as Tyson sounds like fire. That's the thing. I mean, he's good enough to where you could see him and just have MVP say, like, come out and say, man, he's reinvigorated. He remembered who he was. That's why he's been so dominant the last 6 months.
Just get him a new finish.
Yeah.
I want a new finish.
Like, just what, a full Nelson slam, for the love of God.
Anything like that. Like, when I saw The Miz lay flat out in the middle of the ring, like he had just taken a pile driver.
Yeah.
And it was a full Nelson. I just thought, give him a better finish. Give him a decisive pinfall finish. Yeah. That's what I wanted of Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, and like I said, full Nelson slam would work just fine. Who does Lashley face after Drew? Raw lacks faces. They got to build them, Jimmy.
Why does it have to be a face?
Yes, you know it could be anybody.
Yeah, anybody.
Right now, he's on fire. He's special. Right now. So the time to capitalize on that is right now.
I agree.
And by how you do that, you build other people similarly to that.
And I honestly think, let's say Mania, we don't know how many fans there's going to be. I think he's going to get cheered, Sean. I think there's a chance people are like, again, you look at Bobby Lashley when he, you know, Sami Zayn's sisters, all that bullshit. And everybody was like, he's kind of dull and boring. And then, you know, for a while with the US title, there was a lot of sameness, but now he's taken it to the next level now. And yeah. I feel like I said, I give him a different finish, but I think that people are going to root for him.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. I mean, look at the reaction on Monday. That's up there, like special moments that I got to cover in wrestling, like just the unanimous joy. And
yep.
Plenty of that there were many circumstances around that. One, the history around Lashley being a black man, the history around Lashley, he was in a very similar situation to Drew McIntyre during his first run, right? Like, it was very clearly, oh, this is the guy. This is the guy. Because I'll tell you what, unless they think you're the guy, you ain't being put in a feud with Vince McMahon and the whole McMahon family. You're not being put across the stage from Donald Trump in what was the promoted WrestleMania match.
Yep.
You ain't getting that. And it did not work out. And he went, and what he did was he worked his ass off. He went and he fought in MMA 17 times.
Yep.
And he got himself in even better shape and got even better and better and better. And he got his moment. And then a part of that product was people didn't want The Miz to be the champion either. They wanted him to be short.
You're right. Yeah. But a lot of it too is that, like, Lashley is not a chicken shit heel. Lashley is I'm going to get in your face and I'm going to tell you I'm going to beat you and then I'm going to beat you.
Yeah.
And so you're right. A lot of people were like, I don't want The Miz's champion. I want someone to kick his ass. But Lashley was the right guy for the right moment, I thought.
Yeah.
And so we'll see where it goes. And it's funny too, because, you know, I saw Impact posted clips of Lashley's Impact title wins. And the mirror imagery, you know, he had MVP with him for some of those. He had Samoa Joe at ringside for one of those. He beat Drew McIntyre for one of those title wins. Drew Galloway. So, you know, there's a lot of mirror imagery, but I think they need to run with Bobby Lashley. And again, it's unfortunate for Drew McIntyre because he did everything expected of him. I loved him on Steve Austin's podcast. You could tell that he had really upped his game, not just in the ring, but outside the ring too. And he's a victim of circumstance. He's a victim of shitty booking. But it's Lashley's time now, man. That's just how it is.
And say that the Drew McIntyre lasts as long as Bobby Lashley. Well, if that's the case, he's got another 9 years in him. And there's going to be a lot more times for Drew McIntyre. He is too much of an undeniable talent. Stellar Justin Lopez says, Lashley should still be using the Dominator as his finish. I do understand why they might not want people to take that if they're bigger boys, if you know what I mean. But yeah, I think the full Nelson slam would work really good. I think one basically where he's got him in the hurt lock and right before they tap out, he lifts them up and swings them to where they're parallel with him and then slams them down would be really good. I think that would be a really, really good thing. And I think Lashley and Lesnar is the top match to do at WrestleMania. If you can get Lesnar in there,
you can.
And you can.
Yeah.
And then that opens up a lot of things. Well, then what's Drew going to do? What's Cena going to do? What's Goldberg going to do? Well, you know what? Drew McIntyre versus John Cena sounds pretty goddamn good to me. There's a lot of things. John Cena and Bill Goldberg sounds really good. Anything that Drew McIntyre is involved in will be a little more important as well.
Yeah, I feel for Drew McIntyre. I do a little bit. And maybe they still are going to do Lashley McIntyre because there's still unknowns with COVID. A little bit, even though we know, you know, the essential business restriction, Cena can get into the country, Brock can get into the country. There's no 14-day quarantine, but are they going to want to? I mean, like we talked about, even though Cena can get in and out without the quarantine, what if he goes to Florida, ends up testing positive, and then you do got to shut down production? Maybe Brock is just like, I'm just going to sit at my compound in Saskatchewan and sit this one out. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
But if Brock wants to do it, that's the match. And with all due respect to Roman and Edge, for me, that's your main event. That's the match that I've been wanting to see for so long. And, it'd be great. It'd be great to see it. I want to see Lashley take him out, man, because it's Lashley's time.
Wild Boy, who celebrated a birthday this week, said tested great with the full Nelson Slam. Yeah. I mean, to me, here's the thing. Like when Lashley does a full Nelson to you, I'm sure it hurts. I'm sure it's the worst. However, we saw that used as just like such a meh.
I agree.
Move. It became associated with like an older brother doing it to their little brother type of thing, as opposed to this is a finishing move. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about Asuka. So my first question is, what's her condition? There's reports that she has a concussion. What are you hearing about Asuka?
I haven't. I would assume it's that she got teeth kicked in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good punt job by Shayna Baszler there.
That was rough. Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah. What did you think of Charlotte Flair? So she did what everybody kind of expected. Says she wants a title shot. You know, everybody kind of saw that coming. But she did it in a way where she remained a babyface.
Yeah.
What did you think of that? Because I feel like it's very forced. When she started cutting that promo, I thought, okay, here comes Charlotte Flair. Here comes Charlotte Flair. But then there's Shayna and Nia, and she's back to being kind of a forced baby face again. What do you think about how they're positioning her as opposed to just a full-on, fuck everybody, I want that title, I'm going to kick Asuka's ass, and that's it.
Well, I don't think she's the baby face that they think she is. I think she is a natural heel.
Yes.
And instead of her playing the I worked for everything that I've got thing, she should embrace the things that people don't like about her. Even though she's not an entitled woman and she has worked hard, she should embrace the fact that, no, I should get what I want because of who I am. Because that's what people are going to think. Like in wrestling, you should really embrace those character traits that you're not going to be able to shake regardless if they're going to get you a level of heat. And for her, she's always going to look like a main event person. Mm-hmm. Like it would take some really terrible booking, and granted they've done it. She went 8 matches without winning. I wouldn't advise that for anybody that isn't on a losing streak gimmick, but I don't think she should be the baby face. I think Rhea Ripley should step in and immediately be the baby face in this. And Asuka should, they fumbled her so bad. They have reduced all of the outstanding goodwill that Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch created with that championship to make it not just the best women's championship, but make it the championship of WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Bummer.
I fully agree. It's like the on Raw, the title has taken a backseat to the tag titles. And I honestly feel like it's taken a backseat to the tag titles because of Nia Jax.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I mean, Andre the Giant is who Vince McMahon is publicly compared Nia Jax to. You know how Vince had an affinity for Andre. And so Nia Jax is getting all the rub. I mean, she just took out Naomi in about 2 minutes on Raw last week.
All due respect, Andre the Giant wouldn't get a Performance Center tryout today.
Maybe he wouldn't. In his younger days,
he probably would.
Yeah.
If we're talking like the Andre the Giant that we saw main event WrestleMania 3 with 93,000, that guy ain't getting a Performance Center tryout.
But would he want one? That guy?
Probably not. He probably wouldn't get through it.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
I mean, here's the thing. They're having trouble getting Omos ready for in-ring. So, I mean, that shows you how times have changed. Now, for the time, obviously, Andre was a fantastic attraction. But times have changed. People know how athletes perform and what they look like in the ring from a performance standpoint. Cyclops says, Raw women's been cursed since Becky left. And that's their fault. They should have been putting this situation in place for whenever she's back. Oh, there's somebody clear cut that she should be after. Evan Wright says Dakota and Raquel need to win Wednesday, right? Yes, I think they do. Badly, badly they need to. Without a doubt, I think it's a slam dunk. They are setting up an NXT tag team division. Rob says, do they not have anything for Andrade or is he on a break? He's on a break right now.
It's kind of funny you just mentioned that because that was going to be my next point. My next point was going to be, what do you think of the idea of Charlotte Flair working on screen with Andrade? How do you think that would work?
Love it.
You think that would work?
Yeah, I think that. Yeah. Oh God, I think Charlotte. I think her character,
she'd be like the reverse Macho Man Elizabeth, sort of. Don't you think?
I would love it. There are so many ways you could play that. God damn.
So I should mention, just in case anybody didn't hear it, the reason I'm asking that question is because Charlotte did an interview with TV Insider where she said that she's pitched that to WWE. She's pitched the idea of her and Andrade working together.
I mean, Charlotte Flair, the son, the daughter of Ric Flair, with her like entitled, handsome Latin husband who is like, I married into the Flair family type of thing. God, there's some real good heat there, and he could pull it off. And here's the thing. If you need a mouthpiece for Andrade, who's still learning English and working very hard at it, by the way, Charlotte Flair's a pretty good one if you're wanting to get heat.
She is a very good promo, no question. For some reason, I can't help but think, like I said, it'd be like a reverse Savage Elizabeth where she's taking advantage of him and, you know, making him carry your bags and kind of ended up getting babyface heat on him. I kind of almost envision it going in that direction.
Yeah. I'd love that idea. That's, and here's the thing. When they brought in Andrade, he was a top level act. He was getting a good push. And then like everything, lost, 50-50, 50-50.
Yep.
Charlotte is such a heat seeker. And here's the thing. They are also good enough performers to where you can go babyface with them in the future. Gutier 25 says, what do you think of AEW partnering with Cinemark Theaters for a Revolution pay-per-view? When you're selling that much, like when you're selling a pay-per-view for that much, I think it's a good idea. To me, it barely registered for me because obviously I can't go anywhere to watch pay-per-view. I watch them at my house. I'm working. But the buzz that happened off of that tweet that I put out, I did not expect over 300 and something retweets.
How many theaters do they have in the U.S.?
I don't know. Okay. I'm not sure, but it's select ones. It's not all of them.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, to me, the news wasn't a massive thing just because in the U.S. we're seeing this happen.
Sure.
I mean, now, you know, New York is opening theaters now in limited capacities. Some of the hockey teams are getting fans back in the U.S. I'm sitting in Toronto, Canada, you know, with the government with their thumbs up their asses, waiting for someone to make a decision. You know that today, Toronto, 4 million people, they had 300 new cases today, Sean.
Wild Boy
300
says,
new cases.
Wild Boy says, how haven't you put Here's the Thing on a shirt yet? I'm about to submit, Jimmy, a lot of shirt ideas. I mean, I haven't mentioned this off the air, but quite frankly, I live in Kentucky, right? I see the targeted.
I visited your house once, remember?
I see the targeted Facebook ads here. I see the type of stuff they try to sell to people in my area. I think there is space for us to do stuff like that. And for, quite frankly, some rural folk to be like, what? That shirt says Fightful? I like to fight. I'm buying one. I think there's some room for that. I think we can probably market some of these. What? I'm a dong lord. Give me that shirt.
I'm not putting a Confederate flag on a t-shirt.
Yeah, I ain't doing that shit. That was nothing. I'm just saying. I see a lot of American Fighter shirts getting. Do you remember when that brand started? It was Rich Franklin's brand. It had like the American Pie logo, but it was American Fighter. Well, then it evolved into like less than affliction It was like the Affliction knockoff.
I remember I used to wear Affliction back in the day, and I look at them now, and I'm like, what the hell was I thinking?
You're telling me. You're telling me. Took those bad boys to Goodwill. And
Yeah.
And 60 yet they bucks.
Were, I was going to say, $100 a shirt.
Here's the fabric, Jimmy. Here's the fabric. One ply.
Yeah. I want to mention this quick because I had said on the little Twitter preview that I was going to mention this. We haven't got to it. So the brand that manages to survive for whatever reason, the NWA, they announced that they are coming back. They're returning after a year-long break due to COVID, March 21st. They're doing a pay-per-view on Fight TV called Back for the Attack, and they listed some of the names that are being advertised. Nick Aldis, Thunder Rosa, Aaron Stevens, Trevor Murdoch, Elijah Burke, Tim Storm, and Camille. What are your thoughts on the NWA? Do you think that there is an appetite now, given where they were then versus where they are now? And now you've got, you know, AEW's got a couple new shows out. And do you think there's the appetite? Do you think that there's going to be an audience wanting to buy the pay-per-view on Fight TV?
Well, they did really, really great business with Fight the first go-around. But that will remain to be seen. It's already a different landscape, Jimmy. It's a massively different landscape, and they were just getting their footing on YouTube for free. I don't know how this Fight deal will work out. I would assume they're going to make more off that than they already were on YouTube, which I know that their original plan was we're going live no matter what. Whenever that date happened, they had talks with WWE. They had talks with a lot of people, but it's a new era. Dave Lagana ain't there anymore. Yeah. So I don't know how this is going to work out. The talent is the usual suspects minus some people. I'm sure they'll bring in some good people as well, but I'll have to see what they put out, because at this point, Impact is like, they've got more buzz and AEW's got more buzz. And if NXT moves to Tuesdays, they're going to have more buzz on Tuesdays too. Yep. So you have to weigh, will they catch that? I'm sure they'll run at 6:05. So then Dark will be on like probably after that. And then NXT and will people watch this? It's hard for me to tell.
It's going to be tough. And then when you look at some of this talent, with the exception of Thunder Rosa, they haven't worked a lot in the last year. I mean, I know Aldis did a few things with, what was it? The Championship Wrestling from Florida or whatever. They did the joint pay-per-views, but they haven't worked a lot. So over this whole time, Billy Corgan continued to pay them basically, even though they weren't really active, right?
Yeah. Yes. And yeah, I'll just say that I've had some very spirited conversations with people in the NWA in the past, and I'll have some more on that as it approaches. But Nick liked our idea. He said, give me Los Ingobernables de Charlotte. And Cyclops says, can Stardom and AEW work together like New Japan? I think it's possible, but right now they see the Tokyo Joshi Pro stuff working out and DDT working out for them. So it's a matter of seeing if all of those can work in unison, because AEW is just like, hey, we'll get you buzz. Trust us. And it's worked so far.
Yep. Yep. Well, if you go to 50select.com, the list goes on. We are going to talk about New Japan a little bit and unifying the titles. We're going to talk about Big Cass. We're going to talk about Joey Ryan, Sean. We're going to talk about Marty Scurll. We're going to talk about Frank Mir, the guy that beat Brock Lesnar in his first UFC fight. We're going to talk about Frank Mir. I'm going to talk about Bret the Hitman Hart. So check out FIFOselect.com. The list goes on after this.
Guys, thank you all so much. We're back here for the Wednesday Night War. For those of you already asking, what will you do when NXT goes to Tuesday? I don't know. Until next time, we're out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.